Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
It is The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production, a very special guest that we have today. His name is David Siegel. And basically, David has done a lot of other things, but right now we're going to talk about, throughout the program, the brand new book David has. It's called Pull, The Power of Semantic Web to Transform Your Business. And we'll tell you more about David as we get into the interview. We also want to welcome a new friend to the Advertising Show today, and you're going to be hearing from Jeremy here momentarily. Jeremy Kent is from the UK, and he's our London-based correspondent. It's a brand new feature, and Brad, this is something that we have been talking about for a while, and it's kind of exciting that we've had the opportunity to build this this feature and hook up with Jeremy.
Absolutely, we've discussed this for well over a year or so, and it's really a matter of finding the right person. And Jeremy was definitely it. And really excited about having Jeremy aboard, mainly because he comes from our industry. You'll be hearing more about Jeremy and who he is, but he comes from our industry. He's been on BBC and CNN and other news organizations, and this is all about marketing and advertising type content based out of London, as you say, but European type content that you maybe don't hear a lot about. Yeah,
very nice. A little bit later, Jean Bliss is with us. I Love You More Than My Dog, her book, and a lot of the things that you'll find in her book are some of the things that we'll be featuring here on the show. Talking about Zara today, what's your service magnet? A service magnet. Something to think about, too. So between Jeremy and David and all that kind of good stuff, we've got good things going here with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Yeah, we've talked about Sumner Redstone in the past many times,
yes.
And he's had some struggles with his family and issues with with dealing with, let's call it what it is, greed. Apparently, Sumner was featured in a video clip on Time Warner celebrity news site TMZ. The Viacom boss is taped as he exits a Los Angeles eatery. I thought this was pretty cool. So Sumner says, TMZ, that's a channel, right? Do I own it? and then he also adds that, do not give these pictures to Rupert Murdoch. So, Sumner still has a sense of humor in spite of his challenges recently. He's an older guy.
Named after a rocket. What a guy. Yeah. What a guy. Speaking of food, there is we've got a new food network. Actually, we have one less network with it being branded now as a network for food lovers. The Food Network plans to turn on the Cooking Channel. Memorial Day, May 31st. No doubt they'll be barbecuing something. Fine Living is going away. Basically, the Fine Living Network, FLN. So they're suggesting that the fact that you've got so many of these chefs, Bobby Flay, and all of the other great chefs that are featured and desired there, the Cooking Channel is something that they believe that will be a good replacement at Scripps Howard, for the Cooking Channel. So look for that coming to a cable box or a satellite channel near you. And I can't say that I'm not feeling good about that. I would like to see the Cooking Channel.
Yeah.
I just love stuff like that.
I do,
so
too. Yeah.
We've got – so let's do this. Let's take a moment here for Jeremy. As we said before, Jeremy is our London-based correspondent. For a brand new weekly feature here, our European News Desk. We've got Jeremy here on the Advertising Show right now for you. Absolutely. Let's listen.
Hello and welcome to London for the first European News Desk. I'm Jeremy Kent. This week, could a change in UK government mean tough new legislation for the ad industry? A major French bank is accused of greenwashing. And finally, if you understand social media, getting that new job might be easier than you think. We're just 3 months away from a general election in the UK, and David Cameron's Conservative Party is ahead in the polls. In a soon-to-be-published policy paper, Cameron warns that unless the advertising industry reforms, an incoming Conservative government will intervene to stop what it calls the premature sexualisation and excessive commercialisation of ads aimed at children. Until now, the Conservatives have sought self-regulation agreements, or what they call responsibility deals. However, the new rhetoric suggests that legislation will be swift unless the ad industry puts its own house in order very quickly. Now, today's interconnected social media world sets tough new challenges for everyone, and it demands transparent marketing. You can guarantee that someone will check out your advertising claims and kick up a storm if they feel that what you're saying is anything less than 100% honest. French banking giant Crédit Agricole has found itself making unwelcome international headlines over a campaign designed to showcase the bank's green credentials. The financial institution counts over 28% of French households among its customers, and it recently set out to build its brand across a number of countries in Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. Produced by Parisian ad agency ASAP, the TV, print and online campaign is fronted by former James Bond actor Sir Sean Connery and uses the strapline, "It's time for green banking." But Crédit Agricole's green claims have angered some powerful environmental lobbyists. Speaking to the Sunday Times in London, Friends of the Earth described the campaign as the worst example of greenwash it had ever seen. The pressure group is in the process of compiling a dossier on what it calls the unsustainable activities of the bank, including its backing of oil projects in Ghana and Uganda. Once complete, the report will be sent to France's National Advertising Authority, the ARPP. Back to the UK, and many of us see 2010 as a year of change. If you're one of those considering a new job this year, you may want to hear this. Recruitment firm Major Players says that there's a huge shortfall of PR and marketing candidates with even a general knowledge of social media. Nowadays, clients and agencies expect a basic understanding of social marketing and how social media has changed the way marketers communicate with their customers. Now, I come across talented social marketers every day, but apparently those skills don't get much of a mention on job applications. Out of a sample of 4,500 resumes received by Major Players in the last 2 years, only 6% reference social media, 9% mentioned Twitter, and just 2% talked about blogging. Some 13% did include Facebook, but it was in the hobbies section. This is Jeremy Kent in London for The Advertising Show.
So there you have it. Jeremy Kent with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here at The Advertising Show. David Siegel just about to jump into the show as we learn a little bit more about his book and about what he does. By the way, curious, would love to hear your input, your reflections on the new feature and the new content we have here at The Advertising Show with Jeremy Kent. So if you get a chance, let us know any way you can, okay? You can even send a postcard if you want to, although it's not necessary, right? David Siegel is an author, a consultant, and investor focusing on the future of technology, the internet, and business, always on the cutting edge. David is credited with being one of the first entrepreneurs and designers in the emerging website design business, designing his first site in 93. He started blogging in 94 and is likely, very likely, one of the first people to have started blogging. He hasn't finished. He's very tired. He started Studio Verso, one of the first web design and strategy firms the same year. He's been writing books about the web since 95, creating killer websites. Know that one. Secrets of Successful Websites. Know that one, too. Creating Killer Websites, too. Futurize Your Enterprise Pull, which is pretty much what we'll talk about today. Is that right, Brad? Yeah. Here at the Advertising Show, go for it.
You know, Carly Simon is teaming up with AOL, Ray. I found this interesting music site, Spinner, for a contest seeking the first official video to accompany her 1972 hit, You're So Vain. Now, this is the strange part of this news item. The pop singer-songwriter has never publicly revealed the identity of her inspiration for that particular song. Now, is it just me and you that know it's about Mick Jagger and the Stones, you know, and her relationship with him, or is it... Are we supposed to pretend that because she's never acknowledged that we really don't know that that's who that song was about?
There's a lure there, and there's those folks that still don't know that, so that's fine.
Okay.
Something like that. Carly Simon, still cooking after all these years, right? And I do mean in a very good way. We've got David Siegel here in just a moment. And by the way, I want to say thanks to our friends at Shipple, Ed Shipple and his gang, and Shipple, it's S-C-H-I-P-U-L, have created a killer marketing platform that we use here at The Advertising Show, and it's called Tendency. Check it out at Shipple.com. Ray and Brad and The Advertising Show, back with David Siegel and more about the book called Pull in just a minute.
We didn't create Rebus, the best advertising agency software application, overnight. It took us about 20 years of refinement, with the help of over 400 of our customers worldwide. From CRM estimating and timesheet entry to a full accounting package, Rebus Software is a fully integrated and user-friendly platform that will make your staff more efficient and your agency more profitable. And because Rebus is an energetic, multilingual, and multicultural company, we can respond quickly to your specific needs from the U.S. to the U.K., Spain, Italy, and Australia. Rebus, refined and proven effective by advertising agencies around the world. Want to find out how Rebus can work for your agency? Schedule a live online demo right now. Go to rebus-software.com. rebus-software.com. The live online demo is free. The results go directly to your agency's bottom line. rebus-software.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Stronger than dirt. As promised, we are back here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth, and our very special guest is the author of a brand new book called Pull, The Power of the Semantic Web to Transform Your Business, out of New York. It is David Siegel. David, welcome to The Advertising Show.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, and on the portfolio title, the book published by Portfolio, great people there, and welcome to the show. Yeah, David, you've been writing a variety of books about the web for well over a decade, yet it's been some 10 years since you last published a book. Why the lengthy delay between the two books?
Oh, I think we had the meltdown in 2001 where everything died, and all of the venture capitalists and entrepreneurs in the Bay Area started remodeling their homes. So we were at Home Depot for a couple of years, and then things got turned back on after Google went public, and so we had to wake up from our slumber and get started again.
Well, certainly there's been a lot going on since over the past decade, and a great and exciting time to be involved in anything technology. What was the motivation behind writing the book, Paul?
You know, I've been wanting to write this book since about 1998. It's all about what we call metadata, descriptive data online. And I'm glad I didn't have a chance to write it, even though I'd been turned down several times, and I think finally 2010, now is the time for it to come out, so I think the timing is just right. I just had to be a little patient there.
And so any of our listeners may know, in terms of should or should they not be reading this book, who was your target audience? Who did you have in mind when you wrote this book, David?
People who are interested in technology, the future of technology. I think the last 10 years of innovation online have been relatively quiet. We put a lot more information online, but we haven't seen the huge heyday of advancement in technology that we saw in the 90s, and I think the next 10 years will be much more active. So 2020, I think, promises to be quite different from today. So if business people are interested in that and in the process of how we're going to get where we're going to go, then I think they'll be interested in this book, both large and small business people.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into your head and enjoy some of your projections of the way you see the web. We've all heard Web 2.0 for a while now, but you talk about a concept called semantic web or Web 3.0. For our listeners, define for us what you mean by the semantic web and explain, if you would, David, how it's different from our current way of collaborating online.
Sure. I've got two concepts in the book. The first is pull, and that is that we're going to be pulling information, products, and services when we need it, where we need it, the way we want it. And that's clear in media. You can see it in television, even in radio, that people are already getting their television shows through whatever device they want now and when they want, rather than waiting for it to show up on network TV at a certain time slot. So that process is going to continue, right? You'll be able to hear any recording or see any movie ever made just by finding it online and bringing it to any device you happen to have that can display it or hear it on an earpiece. So that customer pull is very important, and it's a transition I think will happen in every industry, so not just in media, but in all industries, from real estate to Wall Street to Main Street. And the semantic web is the plumbing that makes a lot of it happen. So do you want me to define the semantic web?
Yeah, I mean, while you're talking about it, sure.
So the semantic web is this, some people call it Web 3.0, is this new way of packaging our data so it's more findable. Today, when you use a Google search, Some people are frustrated by it. Some people think it's great. But you actually just see a list of websites in response to the keywords you've typed in. And it's your job to then go to those websites and see if what you're looking for is really there. A lot of times it isn't. Google doesn't know. Google just finds keywords and shows you possible sites that you have to figure out. Even sites like Amazon, which have tremendous amount of structure behind the scenes, just put up pages that are meant for humans to read. And the semantic web makes everything findable by machines and software so that we can do searches across the web for precise things, compare apples to apples, and not have to go to many different websites to type in keywords and look inside of different websites to see what we're looking for, but actually, say, put out a query and say, I'm looking for a particular kind of thing, and have it all come to you from the web because the software can find it.
So are you describing Microsoft's new search engine?
Not at all. That's still keyword-based.
Yeah.
And it's very important to understand that we're overhauling the data infrastructure here. It will take 10 to probably 20 years to do it right. So I can give some examples that may help.
Please, yeah.
Right, so let's say that you're a restaurant and you want your menu information to be out there so that people can find you and order a dinner. Now today, you know, you've got a website, you've got some information online, and people use Google and they maybe type in whatever Chinese restaurant in New York or something, and you're hoping that they find you by keyword, and you do a bunch of search engine optimization to be found. And most importantly, you go to these different websites like menu pages or... there's a bunch of different websites that have, or Zagat and so forth, that have actual menu information. And inside of those sites, the information is very well presented. But as a restaurant owner, you have to go to all those different silos, we call them, and put your restaurant menu stuff, menu data up, your prices and your listings of all your food items. And then anytime you have a change, you have to go to all these different sites and log in to make the same change on many different sites. And in fact, the consumer has to do the same thing. The consumer has to go to the different websites for all the that have all the menus and search just within that website. And in the poll era and the semantic web, you'll put your information up in a standard format that actually in the menu area doesn't exist yet. So people are working on it, but doesn't quite exist. You'll put it up as a feed, as a data feed, in one place, and all the search engines and any other website or service can find it. So everything will be online rather than deep into these databases that are buried inside of websites.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. The very special guest is David Siegel out of New York. It's called Pull, the Power of Semantic Web to Transform Your Business. We'll get a chance to spend some more time with David here in just a moment. Stay with us here at the Advertising Show.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is the Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop,
back to the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. And out of New York this weekend, it is David Siegel. Pull the power of semantic web to transform your business. And we find many things we did not get a chance to talk to about David. David worked at Pixar Studios, which had to have been a really, really cool experience. And there's something about dark chocolate, too, that I want to find out a little bit later on. But, David, tell me about Pixar. What kind of experience was that, real quick?
Oh, geez, this is 1986. I worked at Pixar. That was the first year of the company when Steve Jobs funded it. We were 26 people, I think, at Pixar, and transformed from some little computer graphics group at Lucasfilm into a company that was going to make the next big computer to do pixel processing. And as we all know, that didn't work, and they had to reset the company, and the rest is history.
What trailer park was your office located in?
I'm sorry?
What trailer park was that office located
in? I actually can't tell you. It has a name that I won't divulge.
Yeah, can't divulge. Okay, yeah. It's an Airstream.
It's like a normal office park, but it's just film studios all over the place. Yeah.
Okay, still want to ask about the chocolate a little bit later on, but you wanted to talk about some, Brad.
Yeah, going back to picking up last segment, universal descriptor based databases, I guess, is what you're describing there, David. Am I correct in thinking that?
Well, we call it the open web. So that instead of, you know, most advertising today is based on search. And search is based on what the search engines can find. And in many cases, they can't find what we call the deep web. They can't even see it in many databases. And so the idea of the open web is that all the information will be online. Just as the restaurant owner puts his information online, everyone with information will put it straight online where it can be found. And in many cases, the process is going to reverse. So rather than going to Google and doing a search and seeing what the results are, I'll stay in what I call my personal data locker, and I'll say what I'm looking for, and then the products or the services or whatever, the information will come to me, and I won't be going out and looking for a lot of things on a lot of different websites. Everything will come to me, and I'll have tools I can use to filter the responses that come in. It'll all be software that can talk to each other and understand things semantically, so that the software can do a lot of work on our behalf rather than we have to figure it all out. And just when I say semantically, I don't want to do any word tricks. What I mean when we say the semantic web is unambiguous. If it's clear what the meaning of something is to both people and software, then it's unambiguous, and that's what we mean by semantic.
It sounds like this isn't speculation on your part. You feel confident that this is something that's actually going to happen, right?
Well, that's why I wrote the book. We're about 1% of the way through this transition that will hit every industry. Whoever's listening, it's coming to your industry, even if you're a plumber. I can promise you. I even talk about it in my book. Plumbers will have to pay attention to this in a couple of years. But right now, the financial industry is going through an interesting transformation where financial reporting to the SEC is becoming really the biggest example of the active semantic web and the open web that's commercially developed so far. And I have a whole chapter on it. It's fascinating. So it's already happening and affecting billions of dollars worth of research and decision-making.
So if a large percentage of Google's revenue comes from word search, what does this suggest for any of our current – I know you're not and I'm not asking you for investment strategy here, but, I mean, well, what would you expect to happen with a Google?
Huge changes. Google is very aware of the semantic web, but they make their information on they make their money on keywords. At the moment, in some sense, you can say that Google makes money when you don't find what you thought you were looking for, but you find something else that's advertised alongside. And so, 99% of the time anybody displays an ad, it's the wrong message to the wrong person at the wrong time. And the advertising industry knows this. They're just making their money on the 1%. But things are going to get much more targeted, and the people, the consumers, the customers, will be much more in control of that conversation. So if I'm looking for a car, for example, I'm not going to go to 25 different car sites. I'm going to say what I'm looking for and specify a range, and I'm going to let the offers come into me.
Well, I want to delve in a little bit more and get your thoughts on the open web and who's going to take Google's place in that business scenario, and we'll do it after the break.
On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe, David Siegel out of New York this weekend. It's called Pull, the Power of the Semantic Web to Transform Your Business. And we've got more with David and Ray and Brad here in just a minute. Stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
The Advertising Show, Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth, and our very special guest is David Siegel, who we're talking about his book, a brand new book called Pull, the Power of the Semantic Web to Transform Your Business. But I got to ask something here, David, because a couple of different things. You're a chairman of a company in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, called Primoris Brick and Paver, and you also do lectures, obviously, on your specialty web, but you also do lectures on dark chocolate. Now, you got to explain that. First, the brick and paver company, and then the chocolate.
Well, anybody can understand that I have a brick and mortar investment. It's just a safe alternative to the wacky World Wide Web lifestyle that I lead, you know, man about the internet. So it's just a counterbalance to the work I do online. And I've been doing chocolate tasting since 2002, so 8 years or so. And I just lead people in dark chocolate tastings, learning about the world of high-end dark chocolate.
Wow.
There's a lot to know, and people don't really know the first thing, so it's kind of dark chocolate 101. And they're surprised to learn that their fancy Belgian chocolate is made with the world's cheapest commodity beans and doesn't really compare to the good stuff.
Probably not serving Reese's Pieces or M&M's Peanut at these functions, huh?
Not yet.
No.
You know, what you were talking about as far as the open web, I guess, as we're calling it, sounds like a really, really exciting time that's ahead of us. And, of course, as you describe, Google may need to be making some adjustments to their business model if everything comes true as you are describing today. So if marketers are going to be shifting from a seller-centric business model to a buyer-centric business model, is there a new business model that would replace Google in today's scenario for the open web?
There are many different business models, but they're all pull-based. So it's going to be on the merits, and the conversations you'll have with customers will be more that they will be leading them rather than the kind of messaging and promotional material that we put out today. So I just want the listeners to understand we're in a time when we have all these different platforms. We have the iPhone, the iPad, the Palm, the Macintosh, the Windows. All of that will go away by 2020. In the next 10 years, we won't have any of those platforms, I don't think. The Mac and the Windows, they're definitely can't keep up with the volume of information. The information online is going to be 30 times more than it is today just in 5 years from now. So it's all straining under the weight, and the platform of the future is just going to be the web itself. And the smartphones and the smart computers will all be replaced by dumb phones and dumb screens that hardly cost anything. They'll be all around your life, everywhere from on your wrist to on your walls, and you'll access your information anywhere, anytime, any way you want it, because it'll all be online.
What about flying cars, David? Do you have anything on that?
No, but I do want to say that the cloud is not even the right word for it, because we haven't overhauled our information infrastructure. So this Google Gmail and all the stuff Google is doing on the cloud today doesn't even compare to where we're going to be in 10 years.
Well, what does this portend for social media? Does that take more of a role, more of a greater number of platforms in the social media genre?
We're going to be on a lot fewer websites. I mean, right now, to maintain your updates on everybody, you've got to go be inside of Facebook, then inside of Twitter, and then something for Buzz now, and update all your social networks on all the different websites. And in fact, in 10 years, we'll just operate from one single website that I call the Personal Data Locker, And when you update, you know, it'll just radiate out from there. And you won't be spending much time on a site like Facebook. And Facebook makes money from advertising. So again, where is that advertising going to go? Who's going to pay for it? Who's going to get any results for it when people aren't even using the site? They're just flowing through. So the open web is a big threat to the silos like Facebook, I think.
Well, real quickly, David, and to wrap up this segment and interview for that matter, I've got to hear your thoughts on, you know, what if a Google, an Apple, a Microsoft get wind of what you're talking about? I'm sure they're probably knowledgeable about where this is headed. What can they do, or what could they do, to offset what you claim to be this open web model and save their businesses?
Well, I've been blogging about this for quite a while at thepowerofpull.com. I think that Microsoft will turn into a holding company. I think as a technology company, Microsoft is already dead. The only few things that that will survive are their healthcare initiatives, which are quite good and interesting for both the consumer side and the healthcare suppliers. Apple is interesting because they'll be milking their cash cows for the next 5 years for sure on the apps. And but if you look at iTunes, that's going to have to be a website. It won't be a download anymore. Everything will be a service. That's why they bought this company called Lala. It will all be streaming, and you won't download things to your smartphone anymore. You'll have to do it with a dumb phone. You'll have to be able to see it, see everything everywhere all the time, no matter whose phone you have. You just grab one and log in, and you're there. I think Apple could make the transition, but they have a big cultural shift to make that I talk about on my website. And Google is doing it in drips and drabs. They're just starting to embrace the semantic web with some search results. They're pretty good with open data. You can port your account to other places easily. But they have a long, long way to go, and they're very aware of it, and I think we'll see them evolve in very small steps. And I think we just won't recognize Google 10 years from now from the company. Today it'll be very, very different.
I think what we need to do is take this and put this into a time capsule and come back in 10 years and talk again to David about that. But in the meantime, if you want to get some insight, and a great book, too, as well, it's called Pull, The Power of the Semantic Web to Transform Your Business. As always, David, it's been a pleasure having you here at The Advertising Show.
My pleasure, guys.
On The Advertising Show, yeah, there's more to come. Stay right here.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean.
This is The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth. Originally from Salt Lake City, he is, but David Siegel out of New York, and has written a lot of great books. This one is certainly worth your time to drop by the bookstore and pick a copy up, Pull, The Power of Semantic Web to Transform Your Business. We've had Sally Hogshead on the show before. It's been a few years, too, and we actually she actually came to Houston to speak to the Ad Fed here as well. Sally's a neat lady. And she'll be talking with us. Does she have a book, too? Yes.
Yep.
Fascinate, Your 7 Triggers to Persuasion and Captivation. So that'll be good for next time here at the Advertising Show.
What Jean, a great lady, by the way, Sally.
She's just too cool. Yeah. Too cool. Jean Bliss, another great lady, coming up here momentarily with something about Zara, What's Your Service Magnet? And we'll find out what that's all about as well. It's according to Media Daily News from Media Post, basically a digital coupon. As digital coupons rise, print inserts demise. Well, basically they're asking a question there, and the answer is probably so. Things are looking up for digital coupons, according to coupons.com. Well, what would they say? It's a down market, which said its digital coupon business grew 170% in 09 compared to 08 in terms of the volumes of savings. Coupons.com allows consumers to find coupons they want and print them out at home. A lot of people do that.
I mean, I do it.
You at the store. You take your phone and you go to the web and you show them the coupon on your telephone. Are things changing or what? I love it.
iTunes has an app for that. You know, and anybody that buys anything online these days, if you buy things online and you're not doing a Google search for a coupon for that particular company, you're crazy. I mean, they're out there.
What a waste. Yeah there's ways to save money. Yep. But they're saying, and this makes a lot of sense, basically newspaper inserts, bye-bye.
Yeah, along with the classified, missed that opportunity, newspapers.
Let's see, does that mean less revenue?
You know, it's funny because we've talked about this before. Newspapers in major markets used to have a real attitude like, you know, these are our rates. We're going to increase it next year, even though our circulation is declining. And if you have a problem with that, go start your own newspaper. And those were all one market newspaper, major markets. And look where that attitude got them.
Don't need that. Attitude is a good thing as long as it's positive and it connects with your consumers. And that's what Gene Bliss is talking about here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Fashion retailer Zara gets a product from inception to market inside a store within 15 days. Then they create an on-purpose product extinction cycle where limited quantities are available for short periods of time. Fast fashion is Zara's customer magnet. It brings customers into stores to see what is new, what they must not miss, and what they must own before it's gone forever. Speed of fashion for Zara also means having agility for listening to and responding to customer requests in the marketplace. Inditex, Zara's parent company, says that an item requested by enough customers can be in their stores to accommodate that request within 10 days. Zara's understanding of customers drives its decisions for how it designs, produces product, and stocks its stores. Zara customers make an average 17 annual store visits compared to 4 visits for other retailers. The Zara habit that keeps customers coming through their door results in more products sold at full retail. Nearly 85% of Zara's inventory sells at full price, compared to a retail average of 40%. How much do you know about your customers' lives and what makes them tick? What's your service magnet?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Gene Bliss's book is called I Love You More Than My Dog, and that's kind of an excerpt from the book. So if you like that, you'll love the book. It's Ray and Brad here on The Advertising Show.
Yeah, Ray, I want to get your thoughts on this. The National American Italian Service Organization says it's considering legal action against MTV over the channel's hit TV show Jersey Shore, claiming the use of words like Guidos is racially stereotyping, as well as portraying the Italian Americans in the worst possible light. Now, if you've seen any excerpts or any bits of that particular show or seen these people interviewed on the Today Show or various other venues, you know that if you are Italian, you're kind of cringing a little bit. I mean, you know, there are Italian portrayals that are, you know, about the mob or whatever, and you think, well, that's kind of our history, and I'm not going to get all upset about that. But this, it would, this is really something. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
So an organization has gotten on this show, the producers of the show.
They're considering a lawsuit. I don't know that's going to go anywhere. Of course, it's getting people to talk about it.
It
but,
sure is,
you know, everyone has a right to come out with whatever they want to do, and the kids are watching that, and they like it, and, you know, more power to them.
I'd say leave it alone.
Yeah.
I'm not Italian, but I don't see that as a,
it's
as,
crazy.
As a bad thing.
Well, I mean, it's true. You and I talked about the Super Bowl and some of the political, social spots that were on that major event, and it's like, is that really the place for that? Let's just have a good Sunday football game.
Exactly. And we did, by the way. This is one of the very few Super Bowls where they actually played good. Had a great outcome.
Record-setting ratings.
Yeah, what more could you possibly want? Yeah. So congratulations to the big game.
New Orleans.
Say, in the advertising business. Yeah. I can't say anything about that. But it was good to have David on today, and it's looking forward to have Sally on next week here at the Advertising Show. And also, want to hear from you if you like the new feature with Jeremy Kent here. Happy to have Jeremy as a part of the Advertising Show, which is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. This is The Advertising Show, and it is a Big Radio Midgets production.